Welcome to You Speaks Out, a show by, for, and about young people. It airs on the first Sunday of each month from 3 to 4 p.m. and is hosted by young people in the Mendocino County. We want to create a place where young people can talk truthfully about important issues in our lives and have a dialogue with a community of listeners. Today's hosts are me, Royce, from the Willits High School, and
Elias from Willits High School,
Rowan from Laytonville High School,
and Kelsey from Laytonville High School.
Oh, we will have two topics today: the legal substances called bath salts, and then a review of last month's show on marijuana and the adolescent brain. Bath salts is the informal street name for a family of designer drugs, often containing substituted cathinones, which have effects similar to amphetamine and cocaine. Their white crystals often resemble legal bathing products like Epsom salts, but are chemically disparate from actual bath salts. Bath salts packaging often states "not for human consumption" in an attempt to avoid the prohibition of drugs. Other street names for this drug are Ivory Wave, Purple Wave, Vanilla Sky, and Bliss.
Bath salts can be swallowed, snorted, smoked, or injected. Besides the stimulant high, users of bath salts have reported experiencing symptoms including headache, heart palpitations, nausea, and cold fingers. Hallucinations, paranoia, and panic attacks have also been reported, and news media have reported associations with violent behavior, heart attack, kidney failure, liver failure, and suicide. We are going to listen to a report on so-called bath salts from a YouTube program called SciShow. That's SciShow.
There's only one thing harder than keeping stupid things from happening to people, and that's keeping people from doing stupid things to themselves. You've probably heard about bath salts. Not the kind for bathing, but the kind that's making people do bad crap, crazy stuff all over the place, like climbing up telephone poles and jumping into traffic, or killing your neighbor's goat while wearing lingerie. Those are things that actually happen. But the important question is why? And also, why? Bath salts are an amphetamine-like drug that got their start in the UK as a club drug, basically a cheap alternative to ecstasy. They've only become a problem in the United States in the past couple of years. In 2011, over 6,100 emergencies involving bath salts were reported by poison control centers, up from 303 cases in just 2010, just a year before. Suddenly, emergency rooms all over the country have been seeing people who snorted or smoked or injected or ate something that made them act so psychotic that even large doses of sedatives couldn't calm them down. Some of these people could only be knocked out by general anesthesia. Symptoms included fevers up to 107 degrees Fahrenheit, along with extreme paranoia, dangerously high blood pressure and heart rates, and blood toxicity bordering on kidney failure. These drugs, which have also been marketed as plant fertilizer, incense, or cleaning products, contain a group of synthetic stimulants called substituted cathinones. Cathinone is an organic stimulant found in a plant called khat that's native to the Middle East and East Africa, and it's a dangerous and illegal drug. Most bath salts use one of two main substitutes, mefedrone or methylene dioxypyrovalerone, which, because of it being really long, is generally just called MDPV. As with drugs like cocaine and meth, these substitutes stimulate the central nervous system while messing with one of our most beloved neurotransmitters, dopamine, the chemical that our brain squirts out to reward us when we do something good for our survival, like eating food or having sex. The more dopamine our neurons get, the better we feel it, for a little while at least. But in a person's brain, the synthetic cathinones found in bath salts combine the effects of both cocaine and meth at the same time. On one hand, they block the reabsorption of excess dopamine that's floating around like coke does. On the other hand, they boost the production of even more dopamine, like meth does. Now, with a brain drowning in dopamine, it becomes so overstimulated, some bath salts' highs, or hells as it were, can go on for days, and your brain can't get a break. And if you've ever even gone a day without sleeping, you know how crazy that can make you. So add that to paranoia, panic attacks, mood swings, and you too might start stabbing goats. At this point, the main ingredients of most bath salts have been banned in at least 41 states, but bath salt cookers, just like crystal meth cookers, are trying to get around the law by concocting different but similar chemicals that have the same effect, basically inventing new cathinone substitutes. That means that in addition to destroying people's brains, hearts, and lives, these drug makers are using the users as human guinea pigs for a profit. Fantastic. So seriously, you guys, I know that this is not the target audience for these drugs, but don't do drugs, and most especially, don't do new drugs that nobody knows what they do, because you never know what's going to make you, like, go eat your neighbor's dog. Thanks for watching this episode of SciShow. Fascinating, but also scary and unfortunate that we had to cover this topic. If you want to keep getting smarter with us, you can go to youtube.com/SciShow and subscribe. And if you have anything else that you'd like us to cover or talk about, or just questions to ask, we're always on Facebook or Twitter.
As they said, that report was from the YouTube channel called SciShow. Until recently, these bath salts were available at local head shops, some gas stations, and convenience stores. We have not seen them in local stores recently, though they are readily available through the internet. So has anyone here seen these drugs or heard stories about their use in Mendocino County? Do you think there is a local problem?
I haven't really heard much about them. Except that one time I was with Royce. You tell the story?
I haven't seen much about bath salts other than on the news. But locally, I heard a rumor that some homeless people in Village were using them, maybe. And I was passing by a bar on my way to the park in the past, and I caught onto a conversation, and it went something like, I knew this dude, and he did bath salts, and then he flushed his baby down the toilet, and it was a very interesting conversation, to say the least. But that's all I know about bath salts.
I haven't heard much of it in Mendocino County or this local area. I've heard about from friends taking it or seeing people take it in larger cities like L.A. or Sacramento, but not much in the community. I suppose I have heard once or twice about it. But I do not know if it is a major problem. I think that it could be a problem if people started taking it more, but as of now, there aren't a whole lot of youth that are.
I haven't had any goats get stabbed.
I don't even think people here know what bath salts are.
No, my mom thought it was literally bath salts. That's what most people actually think.
Yeah, that's what I thought before I did all this research for this show. Okay. Well, in May of this year, Healthy Start of Laytonville brought Ralph Cantor from Berkeley up to Laytonville to present his wealth of knowledge on marijuana and the adolescent brain. As part of Laytonville High School's Health Day, Ralph made a presentation to all four grades explaining how cannabis affects young brains. He was very well received by the students, who felt that they'd gained serious insights into how marijuana works on the brain, and how it may limit their psychological development. Youth Speaks Out hosts Maddie and Colton interviewed Ralph after the show school presentation, and we aired that last month in our time slot. That show is available to stream or to download at our website, www.youthspeaksout.net. By the way, that show has been downloaded over 600 times and has been rebroadcasted on numerous community radio stations around the country. Following the interview, Ralph made a two-hour presentation to an enthusiastic audience at the public forum in Harwood Hall in Laytonville. A recording of that forum is also available at our website or on CDs by contacting Dan Roberts through the website or mail.
The interview created a lot of discussion in our communities, so we are going to listen to several short segments with our comments in between. Then we will open the phone lines for your input, insights, and reactions. This is a community public affairs program, and we really want you to be a part of this conversation. In this first segment of the interview with Ralph, he describes why he looks at marijuana use by youth as a much different event than when adults use it.
I'm not anti-marijuana at all. The thing about it for me, though, is I really make a distinction between an adolescent brain and an adult brain. That's the difference. A lot of people in the cannabis movement don't see what we see in high schools, you know, where and particularly on the kids that are more marginalized, that are more kind of not really connected with the schools. Smoking weed really affects them differently. And the brain is different. I mean, one thing that I'm going to say tonight that I didn't say in school because I didn't think it was appropriate for the kids, because it feels demeaning in some way. But the truth is that a teenager is not totally up in the prefrontal cortex. You know, they're not And I don't like to say that, you know, because it feels demeaning, but in some ways, I mean, there's a bunch of people in the community that are using drugs, you know, that smoke weed or drink alcohol or whatever it is that they're doing. But it requires a level of sophistication to really have drugs in your life. It's not simple. And I just don't feel that kids are at that level of sophistication yet to be able to really handle that. But I'm not anti-marijuana. I just, you know, for the teenagers, their brain is developing. Yeah. And so my big message for you guys, which I'm really glad that you got, was get a life. Yeah. You know, find out what it is that fires off dopamine for you. I want you to figure out, how do you deal with boredom? How do you deal with pleasure? How do you deal with stress? How do you deal with anger or frustration? You know, and the thing about the weed, especially the weed today, is it works really, really well. And so a kid says, boy, I don't have to worry about being bored. All I got to do is smoke weed or hanging out. All I got to do is smoke weed. And so what it does is it's not going to kill them, not going to overdose, you know, but it narrows your life. And they get to be 22, 23, and this is where they got all their nurturance, all their interest, all their importance, all their hanging out, all their friends, all their pleasure, all their recreation, you know, all of those things, and they don't have any skills. And the other part is that I was shown with the difference, you know, that the brain that has all the connections and then the big highways later on, is that I don't want to get hardwired in marijuana as being a solution to stuff. That's a teenager's job, is to figure some of this stuff out. And for a lot of kids here, the weed works just so well that they don't need to do any of that work. And they end up at 22 or 23 with a brain that has hardwired in, that's changed the biology, and a lack of skills to be able to really give themselves pleasure and stress and all that kind of stuff.
So Ralph says he has no problem with marijuana use itself, just that youthful use prevents teens from developing personality skills like coping with boredom and stress and developing personal passions. Any comments?
I think I agree with that.
Yeah.
I agree as well.
Like, as I said earlier, I think I know adults who have problems coping with boredom, stress, developing personal passions, and personality skills. So there's something to be said for that.
I know several people that they smoke weed often, and while sure, they don't have a bad time, they don't do much when high or when not high. They have less that makes them happy or less that makes them sad. They just feel a bit less. They've just become so used to smoking weed as the fix-all that it's pretty much taken out a lot of what they should find out about themselves in their life.
Yeah, I think I've noticed that too.
I also know people that smoke a lot of marijuana that aren't like that, though.
That's true. There are both sides of it. Some people are affected really strongly by it, whereas others, maybe they smoke weed every day for their entire life and it doesn't affect them at all. Or they think that it doesn't affect them. Well, it actually does. It's going to affect you in some way, some more than others.
Mm-hmm.
I think it mostly just makes people seem more distant. I mean, when you talk to somebody who's under the influence and you aren't, it's kind of hard to get a real conversation going. It's hard to get what they're actually trying to say instead of, oh man, that's awesome, or oh man, let's go do that.
Yeah, to get like the same level that they are at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In this second segment, Ralph describes his approach to drug education, focusing on the biological perspective, which is less subject to opinion, judgment, and questions of morality.
I mean, the whole idea to me in drug education is being able to reach kids,
yeah.
You know, and I mean, I've heard people, oh, I told him that it doesn't pay attention, then that's his problem. And yeah, but that as a teacher, that's really my problem as a teacher. I need to figure out how to reach kids. So a lot of the teaching that I'm doing, even though it seems kind of scientific and I do a lot of biology, you know, you saw with the synapses and, you know, all that stuff. And through the biology, it gives you a kind of a visual to hook into some of the concepts that are there, you know. So, And when you're teaching it more from the biology standpoint, it doesn't it's not laden with opinion and judgment and morality and everything. It's just this is the way the drug works, you know. And in a way, what I'm doing is trying to arrive at a place that I think sex education has already arrived at, you know. I think once HIV hit, sex education changed. Then they had to stop playing around. We got to get down to the nitty gritty here because this is life and death, you know, what we're talking about. And so that's when sex education, I thought, really started to get real, you know. And there isn't a huge imperative around drug education. So I don't see drug education as being particularly real, you know. And so people are kind of locked into either teaching how good it is or how bad it is, you know, instead of just teaching about the drug. And so I'm kind of doing what they do in sex education, which is just I'm here to do drug education, not drug propaganda, drug education.
So Ralph says that what schools and parents need to supply is real drug education, not propaganda. They should use sex education as a model. Any comments?
A lot of drug education is, oh, this is so bad for you, it'll ruin your entire life, you're going to end up dying because of it, and it just puts drugs into an entirely horrible perspective. People that have done the drugs themselves go into those presentations feeling that all that they're going to hear is the bad things about the drugs, which means that they're all automatically going to shut out the information that's going to be given. Whereas with sex education, it's all, or usually, is about, oh, this is why sex is dangerous, or this is why sex could be dangerous. Here are steps to prevent sex being so dangerous. And it's for the information's sake. Whereas with most drug, it's all about stopping people from taking drugs rather than actually teaching what drugs do to people.
Anybody who lives in the area knows that marijuana is a huge thing around here. I mean, there's not going to be many students even who haven't tried marijuana. So putting it out there as, oh, it's so bad, is not going to really do any good. People are going to try it regardless of if teachers come up and say that's a bad idea to. Putting it out there that there's different things that it will do to your mind or to wait instead is a much better approach, in my opinion.
And then once the teacher exaggerates anything about it that the children know is an exaggeration, they're not going to believe anything the teacher says.
Yeah, Ralph's presentation, I saw it in Laytonville Live, was one of the first ones that I've ever seen that was a drug presentation that wasn't about good or bad. He spoke entirely on the drug itself and what it did. He says it's not a bad drug, it's not a good drug, it's all a matter of perspective. It's what people do with their lives. I don't think that drugs are inherently bad. It's the people that... Well, not the people that take them. It's what people do while on them or how the drugs affect them.
Or decisions they make.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
In this third segment, Ralph explains how the adolescent brain development is interrupted by marijuana use. This is partly due to the trick effect of dopamine and the fact that many young people tend to overuse substances, whether we are talking about weed or alcohol.
Does it have any effects on the teenage brain or adolescent brain compared to an adult brain?
Well, one thing that's my concern is... Yeah, it really affects the development of the brain at that time. You know, what neural connections am I going to make here, right? So that's the big one. Other than that, I think about it with alcohol in a way. I mean, how many kids really have a glass of Cabernet? Not a lot. You know what I mean? When kids do it, they're doing it to get drunk. You know what I mean? That's the whole idea. And the same with the weed. You know, there's a way in which they're just getting loaded and really getting loaded and smoking a whole blunt. And three times today in classes, I think you maybe one of the people brought up crossfading.
Oh, yeah.
You know, okay, well, that's where you're mixing alcohol and weed together, you know. So it's a terrible mix, but it gets you wasted. You get real, you know what I mean? And so here people aren't even getting high behind it. They're getting wasted behind it, you know? And so It's too available for teenagers. It concerns me as, you know, it's a little bit like the internet. You know, there needs to be some instruction about it. There needs to be some teaching about it so people understand something about it. I mean, the biggest teaching today really was that, you know, it fires off dopamine. And so your brain says, this good, right? But with a little sophistication, you got to say, but I use the drug to trick the brain to fire off the dopamine. You know, and what you want to keep in mind is it's a trick. It's not the real thing, but people smoke the weed. It fires off the dopamine and it says it's good. So the weed must be good and not recognize that it's a trick that's going on in the brain.
I agree with that. I've noticed, at a few of the parties that I've gone to that people, they drink when they hang out with friends, but they don't like drink. They like drink to get drunk, and that happens a lot.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I don't usually see people smoking weed for a little bit, just for the fun of it. It's usually to get really high. It's the extremes.
Because they're doing it for the thrill. They're not just doing it because they like it or something.
Or even potentially to get away from, like, problems. Or life in general, maybe.
Ralph pointed out that the release of dopamine by ingesting marijuana is a trick, making everything seem good and new, and that some young people have a tendency to get wasted rather than high. Any comments?
Just kind of talked about that. Yeah, I think they do have a tendency to do that.
Definitely.
Yeah.
When marijuana is ingested and everything, it releases the dopamine, making everything seem so fun and new, so it makes marijuana seem so great, whereas in reality everything is already there. You can already find fun things in it. You don't really need weed to have a good time with everything. You just need to be able to look closely for what might be interesting to you as a person.
But I think this only applies for, like, the people that do it as a party drug. There's people that just smoke pot every day, teenagers that do it just to be high all the time.
I wish more people would realize that it was, like, a trick, and that they can, like, do this by themselves without the drugs.
Well, it just releases dopamine like anything else does.
Yeah.
In this fourth segment, Ralph questions the notion that marijuana is a gateway drug, and he then expresses concern that many people, especially in our communities, insist that marijuana is not addictive.
I don't think of weed as being a gateway drug necessarily. It can be a gateway into exploring psychedelics more, so people then can become more interested in mushrooms or that kind of stuff. And it can be, what I'm seeing with some of the kids here at the high school today that I saw, is it can be a gateway into figuring out that there's a pharmacological solution to my problems. You know what I mean? I feel down, I'm going to take a drug that's going to take care of that. I feel bored, I'm going to take a drug that's going to take... In other words, they're looking for pharmacological solutions all the time, and I think it can be a gateway into that, rather than saying, what can I do about this? How do I deal with this? Rather than looking out there. And I think marijuana is the start on that. But sometimes, I don't think it can be a gateway drug. I think people can just stay with weed, not have to go any further. You can, you know, do it there, And I want to say this, you know, real clearly, marijuana is addictive. And people say, oh, no, it's not addictive. You know, it's interesting, in the Bay Area, and I don't see it up here, in the Bay Area, there's MA, Marijuana Anonymous, not Narcotics Anonymous, not Alcoholics Anonymous, it's Marijuana Anonymous. They meet 7 days a week, and there's good-sized rooms full of people that say, I'm addicted to marijuana, I'm trying to get off. And when I brought it up last year or 2 years ago in Mendocino County, people, marijuana's not a... And I looked out at the audience and says, does nobody have a problem with marijuana here? You know, and that's not true. Sure, people have problems with marijuana. I know wives who say to their husbands, listen, you're stoned all the time.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a drag. I don't feel like I'm connecting with you.
Yeah, there's not a problem with them growing it, but when they're smoking it and growing it.
Yeah, and when I referred to it, I didn't mean a problem with growing it.
Yeah.
I meant a problem where you're abusing it, where you're addicted to it, where you're using it under circumstances that you shouldn't be using it, and it's not killing you. But some of what it does is it can steal from your relationships. It can make you more of a loner. It makes you, you know, not want to reach out more. It can introvert people. But I've heard, you know, the argument, you know, where the wife says, you know, you're stoned, I can't talk to you. And the husband says, what are you talking about? I'm listening to every word you're saying. I'll give back to you every word you're saying. What do you mean I'm not here? And the wife will say, well, whatever it is, we're not connecting here, you know. And so it's hard to really understand all of what marijuana is doing. It's quite a complex drug. But one of the things when I spoke with the doc about it is that everybody's got brainwave patterns, right? Because we're firing off neurons all the time, and it makes patterns. And you look at a what do they call that? An electrograph, or what was that?
ECG.
Whatever that thing is, where you can see the patterns, right? And so everyone's got brainwave patterns. And part of what happens when two people talk and they start to connect is those brainwave patterns start to, you know, get into a little empathy, a little, you know, alignment there. But it turns out with people who smoke weed, they don't hook up in that kind of way. So what the wife is saying is right. You know, we're not on the same wavelength here. But the husband said, "But I hear you." You know, so it's. But does it interfere with relationships? Yeah. My concern is it interferes with teenage development. Teenagers really need to figure out a bunch of things.
Hmm. Well. Oh, well then. In this fourth, Ralph gave his opinion that marijuana is not a gateway drug in the sense that it leads to the use of further substances, and he strongly questioned the local notion that marijuana is not addictive. He also pointed out that marijuana creates isolation and can disrupt empathy between people. Any comments?
Well, marijuana definitely can be addictive because anything that releases dopamine for you can be addictive. People get addicted to running and exercise and stuff like that. Well, that wouldn't be a bad addiction to have. But
people even get addicted to their cell phones. There's so many things you can get addicted to.
You can become addicted to anything that makes you happy. People are addicted to sex. People are addicted to watching TV, to even eating food and everything. Anything that makes you happy or releases dopamine, which most everything does in someone's life, can become addicting.
Yeah, so I definitely think that a marijuana can be addicting, and yeah, and it can cause changes in your life and in your relationships, and
they do have the Marijuana Anonymous in Bay Area. My dad actually did one in Marin a while back.
Yeah,
which is unheard of around here. I used to live in Marin, and they have that.
I've noticed that when people smoke a lot of marijuana, they become drawn back from society. Like, even people in our school system, they don't do well, so then they smoke weed and they hang out with their friends, and then they end up not going to school, and then they ditch classes, and then it's just like that keeps happening. And then I know. Adults who just hang out all the time and then smoke weed and slowly become drawn back out of their lives and just really like let go of the more important things that they should be worrying about.
And of course, marijuana addiction wouldn't be as bad as, say, heroin addiction because you're not going to get physical withdrawals from it or anything like that.
Yeah, but like heroin or something, it leaves your body so fast. Entire body is spasming or something horrible is happening to you physically, whereas with marijuana it stays in your body long enough that you smoke a joint, then a week later you're not really feeling too bad about it. You're not saying, oh well, I didn't smoke weed for a week and I smoked it every day for 2 months before that. You still have some in your system. It's slowly weaning your body off of the marijuana.
Even alcohol is really bad withdrawal symptoms when people quit.
I think anything that you take in too much of at one time is bad for you, even if it is just junk food or something. You can get addicted to anything, like you guys were saying. It's just too much of a good thing, I guess.
Are we all done here? Should we go to the next one? Okay. Well, I guess when people are using marijuana to make themselves happy, they don't learn a lot of other ways to make themselves happy, and kind of can keep them stuck in a rut.
It shuts off different options. You're having a bad day, so say you go get high with your friends, and that's one option of your life you could have taken. You do that, and then you're more used to going and getting high with your friends rather than just going home and dealing with your problems. Or let's say you're having trouble with your girlfriend. Some people talk to them and they sort it all out, whereas some other people just go get high and, you know, just let it wash away. Not everyone's like that. I mean, sure, people do get high and go talk about their problems, and it could help. It depends on the person and how the marijuana, the drug itself, affects the people.
Mm-hmm. In the fifth and final segment, Ralph says that he has no problem with people growing weed, but that growers with teenagers may worry that they are being hypocritical if they tell the youth not to use marijuana. Ralph then explains the statement that magic is in the brain, not in the herb.
I'm not against marijuana, but I feel very strongly around marijuana and teenagers. They need some education around this. It is not all good. And so do the adults, because the parents don't know it either. And you want to know something else? I don't have a problem with parents growing weed. I can totally understand that. Even a teacher. But somehow or other, the parents feel like it compromises them, that now I can't say anything to my kids because I'm growing weed, or what kind of message is there to the kids? But I'll tell you something. In St. Helena, people are growing wine. Or in Napa, people are growing wine. And they don't feel like it's hypocritical to tell their kids, I don't want you drinking alcohol now. That's not hypocritical. And they can be growing the wine at the same time, because it's different for teenagers than it is for adults. But somehow or other, we're not making that distinction when it comes to weed. The last question here, what do you mean by magic is in the brain, not in the herb? What I mean is the herb triggers off the dopamine. The dopamine is the magic. That's the thing that makes you feel alive. But you already have that. That's what you're carrying with you. What you want to figure out is how do I get in touch with that? How do I get in touch with my own magic? There's a way in which weed does open up things in the mind, does kind of show you other things that your mind is capable of. But so it's kind of like a finger pointing towards something, you know, like it let you know then, oh boy, I wish I would have had this in the eighth grade, that there's other possibilities that are there. The issue with it to me is that people don't end up going to the thing that it's pointing to. They end up falling in love with their finger. You know what I'm saying? It reminds me a little bit of Alan Watts when he talked about religion. And he said, you know, religion is just a tool to have a relationship with God here. But the problem is people end up falling in love with the religion and they don't go to God. You know, or what I see with marijuana is they smoke some weed and it opens up some things in their mind. And instead of going for that, they end up stuck in their finger all day long. They end up smoking the weed all day long instead of going after what it's pointing to.
Ralph explained that the dopamine release is the magic experience when using cannabis, and that teenagers need to develop passions and activities that release the dopamine that is already in the brain. Any comments?
No comments?
No.
Yeah, I think that's good. I have not smoked weed, so I don't know how you feel when you do that, but from this point I would much rather like go out and like have a sword fight with my friends.
Build a treehouse
than do drugs and like sit in my basement. Or not even that. Just, I don't know, I feel like that would be much better, and that it is, teenagers, us, we should go and, like, do, like, fun things rather than spending our time, like, doing drugs. I don't know.
It's just whatever's fun to the people, though. I mean, marijuana releases so much more dopamine than a lot of people realize, that they'll start smoking weed or something, and then things are less fun unless they're high. If something's high, it's more fun usually. You're going to want to play that video game more. You're going to be stuck on that level, but it doesn't matter. It's still fun. You're going to be playing that video game for hours on end, still having a good time. Whereas if you're not high, it's just a video game. You'll be looking for something else to release more dopamine, to give you more fun, to make you happier. Whereas with marijuana, it just makes everything instantly gratifying.
I sort of see marijuana use as sort of something that I don't need. I can have a lot of fun with friends and just hanging out, and I don't feel like I need it myself, but, I mean, I hear that it's fun, so who knows?
We're above the influence.
I don't know, there's so many other things you could do to get your dopamine other than, like, drugs. Like have thing, fill the treehouse, go, like roll in the grass at the park. I don't know, that's awesome. I do that all the time.
Play some music.
Go to Warped Tour. You know, so many things. Swing on the swings.
Swings are freaking awesome.
Like, yeah. Even in Laytonville, we'll go, like, my friends and I will go around exploring different places, looking around the creek beds,
yeah,
and chasing after
go
random
out in the
things
forest
and butterflies.
And have an awesome time. I mean, yeah.
But some people really do enjoy marijuana and probably rather do that than any of these things.
Yeah, it's all about the person's preference. We've been listening to segments from an interview, Youth Speaks Out, produced with Ralph Kentor last month. As mentioned before, that entire interview is available online at our website, www.youthspeaksout.net, along with the two-hour public forum he led in Laytonville last month. If you would prefer these recordings on CDs, contact Dan Roberts through the website. So now we invite you, the listening audience, to respond to the ideas presented here today. We are open to your questions, comments, and insights. We are in the Willits studio, and our phone number is
457-9991.
456-9991. All right. Please call soon. This show ends at 4.
Do you think that consuming cannabis in the teenage years is a problem? Has the increased potency of marijuana made youthful smoking a different game than it was 20 or 30 years ago? If and when marijuana is legalized, should specific laws be enacted to limit youth having access to it? Is it hypocritical for adults to grow pot and to tell their teenagers that they must wait until they are older to use it? Do you accept the notion that marijuana is a gateway drug leading to the use of more dangerous substances? Is marijuana addictive? Is it possible to, might say, smoke responsibly?
What gets your dopamine flowing? The phone number is 707-456-9991. When you call, please be ready to turn down your radio, or we'll get a very confusing echo.
Echo.
The number is 707-456-9991. Please call and be a part of the discussion on marijuana and the adolescent brain. Please call soon. The show will be over at 4 o'clock.
Woo, no callers yet. We're just that cool. Nobody wants to talk to us. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi. So, I was wondering what other activities you would suggest for your peers instead of smoking marijuana. I mean, it doesn't seem like there's much to do, so what would you suggest?
Well, I know a lot of my friends play Magic, which might, which might seem a little nerdy because it's a card game, but I know so many of them who play it. Like, recently at the high school, they've even enacted a club around it, and, like, I know, like, popular kids do it, not so popular kids do it, like, I'd say a good majority of my friends even do it, so that could be a fun way, like, games of any type. I don't know, video games? I like video games. I don't know many who don't like video games. You could do that instead of smoking weed. Art. I art a lot. That's a good filler for time. I don't know. I guess when you're bored, you might want to smoke weed more. So, yeah. Art's good.
In Laytonville, there's a dance studio that people go to a lot, and I don't know if the community is really as open to it as more of the adults are. So children can do that, and it's a lot of fun. You can just even spend time with friends and argue about random things, play Monopoly for hours on end.
Well, my one problem with Magic is that it gets really expensive, and I'm not. It's way more expensive than weed, and I just I'm poor.
Yeah, I get that. I don't actually play Magic because of that exact reason, but I know, like, on the Xbox, and I'm pretty sure even on the internet, you can, there's like, a game, there's a website, that you can even make your own deck on the internet without having to buy any cards, and I know a few of my friends who have done that, so that's one way to get around that. But it doesn't even necessarily have to be Magic. Like any game in general. Games are awesome. Yay, games.
Just whatever you want.
Well, thank you for your suggestion.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling.
Caller, you are on the air.
Hello?
Hi.
Hey.
Hello.
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 Hi.
Can you hear us?
I'm named Richard. I'm now American citizen.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes. How?
Yes.
How do you feel about marijuana's effects on the youth?
Well, we have a problem in Nigeria.
Do you now?
What's the marijuana problem in Nigeria like?
Where we find that it's always the white man.
okay.
Always the white man.
Do you personally have opinions about marijuana and the youth?
What are you speaking of?
Like, what do you do for fun that you could suggest others do instead of drugs?
I am too busy to have fun.
Hmm.
Well, does that busyness release any happiness? Are you happy that you're busy, or are you glad that you're always doing something?
Hello?
Well, that was fun.
That was interesting.
Caller, you're on there.
Hi. So you suggested, video games and playing Magic and stuff, and that is fun and might get dopamine flowing to some people. However, those are sedentary activities, and so those are arguably unhealthy as well. So perhaps they're more constructive for your brain than smoking marijuana, but not necessarily healthier overall. What do you think?
I definitely agree with that. You go out and read a book. You could just
exercise.
Ride a bike.
Summertime, go swimming.
These are excellent suggestions, but like the earlier caller just laziness is so easy. And exercising is so difficult. And I don't personally smoke weed, but I don't know about other people and if they would rather exercise.
Mm-hmm. Well, exercising releases dopamine and serotonin and endorphins, which give you your own high.
Well, if you go out with your friends, unless you sit down and play Magic or video games, usually, eventually, some way you'll exercise. Especially if you go out with your friends outside, for instance, I imagine you'll be exercising, even if you're just walking around. You could, dance with your friends. You could, I don't even wrestle with them. I know my friends wrestle in the park occasionally. There's literally so many things you could do than resorting to drugs. So many.
That's true. How do you, suggest that this actually starts to happen, because I'm pretty sure there are a lot of teenagers who would much rather just sit around. I like exercising and stuff, but what about the other kids? Like, how can we motivate them to get outside and do stuff?
Well, in the end, it's all their choice, yeah. Truly. You can't really tell a kid, oh no, you can't play that card game, it's taking too much of your life, you're not exercising. I mean, if we're talking about what makes the person themselves happy, then
it's their health. You can't force them to be healthy.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Caller, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, I'm a musician, and I smoked pot for probably 40 years,
mm-hmm.
and I just stopped one day, and I had no side effects, no withdrawals. But while I was playing music, the creative energy were so fascinating and so intricate that I really do believe that it stimulates artistic qualities in people. And I really think that because of the whole situation with like iPads and Tweeties and and computers and all this stuff, that people are getting so incredibly isolated from one another that they're not actually getting into a situation of actually collective creativity, like playing music in a band. And I don't see, I really can't follow the way that you were saying that marijuana is addictive.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, you know, after like, you know, so many years and just like stopping doing it, I had no side effects, no nothing. I mean, it was like nothing. I wasn't like, didn't have to go to a clinic to withdraw. You know, I mean, nothing. It was like, I think that the popular media myth about cannabis and its consumption is way out of whack with the reality of the situation, because the medicinal properties of cannabis is so wonderful for many, many, many medical purposes, besides the psychological and or emotional things that it can help people with. I mean, you know, put people in touch with themselves, as it were, even though, I mean, what you're talking about is like high school kids and whatnot, but
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's worth taking a good look at that aspect of it, because the creativity behind creating it's kind of thinking outside the box when mm-hmm. one is high, and I think that it's really wrong to say that it's addictive, because it's not. I mean, anybody can stop any time, and there's no side effects, no psychological side effects, unless there's already psychological side effects involved with the individual. Anyway, that's all I wanted to put out there and say thank you very much.
Why did you stop smoking?
Bye.
All right.
Bye. Caller, you're on the air.
Oh, fuck.
Okie dokie. Do we have another caller? Okay. I think that too. Oh, wow. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. Good evening.
Good evening. Do you have any opinions you'd like to share with us about youth and marijuana?
Yes.
Okay.
I think it's very important to remember the...
to remember what exactly?
The.
As the. In the word the?
Well, I believe that smoking marijuana is actually a cause of racial mixing with Hispanic people from the border of Texas.
Well, then, Well, I thought the not this caller, but the previous caller had a lot of good information to say. Addiction. Do we have a new caller?
Hello?
Oh, hi.
Hi.
You're on there.
Okay. You know, I had a couple of comments just after that call a moment ago where a fellow was saying he didn't think smoking marijuana was addictive.
Yeah.
And I would ask him, if he's still listening, why he continued to smoke it for 40 years, because it sounds like there was some sort of psychological dependence on it of some kind. But actually what I was thinking of before that had to do with people asking about what other things can they do, you know, if they're bored
mm-hmm.
or want to get their dopamine levels stimulated. And I appreciate that some woman talked about how sedentary a lot of the things are that we do seem to choose to do for entertainment.
Yeah.
And that there's a huge difference between staying inside and being entertained and being outdoors, and not just going outdoors to get exercise, because that's really boring for a lot of people and hasn't worked for decades for some of us, but finding something that you love to do outside. And that might take a little kind of thinking and experimenting, but, you know, I know when my daughter was a teenager, there was a lot of people would meet and be, you know, doing foot begging in parks or even juggling.
Foot begging? What's that?
You know, kicking around those little bags.
Oh, a hacky sack.
Hacky sack.
There we go.
Good. Yeah. Okay, thanks for asking. And also rock climbing can be really, really fun, you know. And there, I think there are areas in the hills around here where certainly you could find places to learn rock climbing. There are skills that are very specific about being outdoors, mm-hmm. taking really good hikes to some of the incredible places that you haven't discovered yet, you know. And maybe there could be some motivation generated by three or four or five students who might just decide to start doing something out there and see if somebody else gets interested. So that's all I had to say.
Yeah.
Thanks.
I wanted to make a comment on the imagination thing the one person was talking about. Oh, hello, we have a caller. Caller in there. Well, anyway, Carl Sagan smoked marijuana because he believed it helped with his imagination, but he was a genius already and could bring himself down from a high just by wanting to.
I liked what the last caller, not the one who was burping, but the previous one was saying. Like, it does, I know from instances myself, that it can be really hard getting out of your house, and then that going out with other people while you can just sit on your couch and play video games the whole time can be quite hard. But I find myself pretty lucky to have a friend group who primarily is at the park a lot, even in downtown Willits or uptown Willits, wherever it is. Anyway, like most of the time that I can just go to the park and I will find my friends there, usually like no matter the time, and I think that's a real good thing because they're outside and we can just do outside stuff and it's a good activity opportunity.
Caller, you were on. Caller,
you're on there. This is getting pretty obnoxious. Yeah.
Seems like there's a lot of hysterical people out there.
Yeah.
Or one they have that keeps calling over and over.
They have a lot of opinions about marijuana.
At least they're not
guttural opinions.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hi.
Am I on air right now?
Yes,
you are.
I think my thing's a bit far behind. I'm in the United Kingdom. First of all, I'd like to say that that woman who mentioned hacky sacks,
mm-hmm.
you can actually grow weed in hacky sacks. It's great. I mean...
Another one?
Hello, caller, you're on the air.
What?
You're on the air.
I'm on the air?
Yes, you are.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you for having me on your show.
You're welcome.
Also, penis.
Okay, do you seriously have, like, any opinions, you guys? This is getting pretty obnoxious at this point. But, like, you could just give your
Caller,
own...
you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
I've just been doing some research recently on this subject, interestingly mm-hmm. enough, and while I'm talking, I'm going to pull it up on the computer. And what the question I have, and I noticed that your marijuana expert talked about releasing dopamine,
mm-hmm.
but I have a feeling that one of the things that's happening is that the cannabis is attaching to the dopamine receptors, and I'm going to try to see if I can find out if I had that information. But have you heard of anything like that?
Not really, no.
Well, and then there's another thing that I've... So, based on the fact that more dopamine was being used, another good thing is to have really good nutrition for the brain. And one of the main nutrients that the brain needs is the omega-3 fatty acids.
Mm-hmm.
These are found in mostly fish oil.
Yeah.
And because the brain is made up mostly of fat, so that's a really important thing to help keep the brain happy, because if you get low on any of these things, it can also lead to wanting to have that high to kind of jog it and get it going. Whereas if the brain is in really good shape, then you're much more naturally kind of happy and want to do things like go and play in the park. Another thing that happens, too, with cannabis is that there's a tendency to want to eat more carbohydrates and sugar, kind of get the munchies, they call.
Mm-hmm.
And there's actually an herb from India called Gymnema. It's spelled Gymnema. And that can actually cut down on the craving for sweets. And then there's several others, but that might be kind of an interesting thing to look up, whether the marijuana actually attaches to the cannabinoids attached to the dopamine receptors, or if the dopamine itself is being released. Because if the dopamine itself is being released, then that means that nerve transmitter is being reduced in the body, and there's an amino acid that's a building block to rebuild dopamine, and that is called tyrosine. And those are really
wow.
easy things to get at the health food store. So, just a couple ideas there.
Thank
you.
Wow.
You're welcome.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, I have an opinion on marijuana, actually, and I think that it is the work of Satan worshipping...
Well, then. there's one opinion. No? Yes? Okay.
Sign off.
I believe that's it. For this month's edition of You Speaks Out, your hosts today have been me, Royce, and...
Elios from Willits High School.
Rowan from Laytonville High School.
And Kelsey from Laytonville High School.
I don't have the paper. I think it's you, Horace.
Well, Laytonville Healthy Start Coalition is Laytonville Healthy Start Coalition's drug-free community project is proud to sponsor this month's Youth Speaks Out. Our environmental prevention strategies in the community, also known as EPIC, project is funded by the Office of National Drug Control Policy. Through our organization and coalition, we are working towards reducing youth substance abuse through a variety of strategies in the Laytonville community. If you're interested in learning about our efforts, please contact Laytonville Healthy Start at 707-984-8089 or email jjjmashields@pacific.net. Youth Speaks Out is produced and directed by Dan Roberts, who may be reached by mail at P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California 95490, or through the website www.youthspeaksout.net. There you can find out more information about the project, get addresses for contacting us, get a copy of the show, and listen to many hours of previous programs in streaming audio. The views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KZYX. They are the views of those who express them. Youth Speaks Out is aired on the first Sunday of each month. Our next show will be in 4 weeks. That is August 4th at 3 p.m. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in August.
Okay, thanks a lot for doing that. I got to say, we haven't ever gotten crank calls before, and it's kind of embarrassing that it's talking about marijuana and youth that drove people to listen enough so that they could do something absurd on the radio.